Well, as Parliament Speaker says, regional states must break ranks with Zionist enemy. Iranian Foreign Minister highlights that U.S. invitation to talks inconsistent with threats. Senior advisor to leader of the Islamic Revolution says Iran and Pakistan do not need U.S. permission to enhance mutual ties. Iran rejects U.S. arms trafficking allegations. And Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says world Muslims fully back Syria in its struggle with Zionist regime. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Niyan Shitsos. The Speaker of Iran's Majlis, or the Parliament, has denounced Zionist airstrikes on a research center in Syria. Addressing the Parliament, Ali Larijani urged the regional countries to distance themselves from the Zionist enemy. Iranian officials said the U.S., the West, and certain regional states are against the anti-Zionist resistance in Syria, but some governments in the region have failed to realize this fact. Meantime, Larijani said the Zionist regime will suffer the consequences of its aggressive measure against Syria. He further said the setbacks that the Zionists have suffered following the wars that it has launched over the past years should alert the Zionist regime to its inabilities. Larijani said Iran has repeatedly declared it is in favor of the promotion of democracy in Muslim countries, including Syria. Meantime, Iran's parliament on Sunday voted to impeach the country's labor minister. In Sunday's vote, 192 of Iran's 272 parliament members voted in favor of the impeachment of labor minister Abdulrazak Sheikh al-Islami. President Ahmadinejad defended his minister but highlighted that the impeachment is the right of the parliament. However, the minister did not manage to get the lawmakers' vote to confidence. Iranian Foreign Minister says the U.S. invitation to talks with the Islamic Republic is inconsistent with the ongoing threats against the country. Taking part in an interview with Euronews TV channel, Ali Akbar Salehi said, Iran welcomes the proposal, but history shows the U.S. has always failed to fulfill obligations regarding joint issues with Iran in the past. Salehi further said, talks will only be held under condition that the necessary confidence in U.S.'s honesty is established for Iran. The Iranian Foreign Minister noted that Iran is prepared to hold talks on its nuclear issue, but negotiation with the U.S. must be fair and with a real intent to resolve the problem. Elsewhere, the Iranian Foreign Minister said his talks with the Syrian opposition leader one day earlier could contribute to finding a solution to the war in Syria and stopping the bloodshed.
Spoke to Mr. Maaz al-Khatib yesterday. We had a very good meeting with him. And I was very happy when I heard his remark that he is ready to enter into a negotiation with the representatives of the government, of course, with some preconditions. But this is a good step forward. If we want to stop the bloodshed, we cannot continue putting the blame one side on the other.
During the day, Iranian Foreign Minister also conferred with his Turkish and Slovakian counterparts on issues of mutual relations and regional developments. In the meeting with the Slovakian Foreign Minister, Salih said the grounds are well prepared for expansion of mutual relations and economic cooperation. A senior advisor to the leader of the Islamic Revolution says Iran and Pakistan do not need U.S. permission for expanding bilateral relations. Ali Akbar Velayati made remarks on Sunday during a press conference in the Pakistani city of Karachi. Referring to U.S.-led pressure on Pakistan over implementing joint gas pipeline project with Iran, Velayati said, such a policy shows that the U.S. government is not interested in regional cooperation and unity between Tehran and Islamabad. The Iranian official, however, added that through expanding all-out ties between the two neighboring countries, the pressures will have no effect on Iran-Pakistan friendly ties. Elsewhere, Velayati rejected reports about Iran's interference in the southwestern Pakistani province of Balochistan, saying, spreading rumors in this regard is a conspiracy by the enemies. Elsewhere, families of more than 100 martyrs of the recent terrorist attacks in the Pakistani city of Quetta thanked Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's condolence message. Families of Quetta martyrs in meeting with Velayati in Quetta thanked leader's condolence message, which was conveyed to them by his advisor. Addressing the families of victims, Velayati noted that those who martyred more than 100 Shias were enemies of Islam, and no Muslim could do such crimes against its Muslim brothers. Velayati added that making division among Muslims is the U.S. and Zionists' plot to weaken the regional resistance front against occupying force of Zionist regime. He said despite widespread conspiracies against Muslims' unity, Pakistani Shia community should maintain their solidarity with their Sunni brothers. Now, Iran's defense minister has dismissed recent allegations by his American counterpart, Leona Panetta, that Iran is involved in arms smuggling to destabilize the Middle East. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi said Iran's Islamic Revolution is a cultural and spiritual one which does not require arms smuggling and illegal measures to convey its message. Vahidi added that these baseless allegations are ridiculous projection that cannot mask the countless atrocities committed by the U.S. in different regions of the world. Vahidi noted that a massive volume of weapons smuggled by the U.S. into Syria is a clear example of Washington's efforts to destabilize the region. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council conferred with Syrian President on regional developments. During the meeting, Saeed Jalili said world Muslims fully backed Syria in its struggle with the Zionist regime. He also praised the steadfastness of the Syrian people and its government in dealing with the plots of the Zionist regime, as well as their support for a Lebanese resistance movement. The Iranian envoy further said the Islamic Republic is ready to help Syria with its reconstruction efforts, alleviate people's sufferings, and prepare the grounds for resolving crises in the country through political means. For his part, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad accused Zionist regime of trying to destabilize Syria by attacking a military research base outside Damascus last week. Assad said Syria is fully able to confront current threats and aggression against it. Elsewhere, in a meeting with Syria's Ministry of National Reconciliation, Jalili urged all Syrian groups to remain committed to the political approach to restore security to the country. He expressed pleasure for the progress of the political process among the Syrian political and military groups, saying, acts of sabotage and terrorism will yield no result in Syria. For his part, Ali Haidar briefed Jalili on the outlook of the plans devised by the Damascus government to promote national reconciliation in Syria, encouraged them to overcome the current conflict and establish security and stability in the country. A suicide bomber driving a car and gunmen disguised in police uniforms killed at least 33 people in the Iraqi city of Kirkuk on Sunday. The event occurred when the attackers tried to storm the police headquarters in the city. The huge car bomb blast tore into the police directorate's concrete facade, destroyed the cars outside, and left bodies under rubble at nearby government offices. Last month, a suicide bomber disguised as a mourner killed at least 26 people at a funeral.
Two car bombs went off in front of Kirkuk Police Headquarters and Kirkuk Telephone Exchange Building, killing more than 30 people and wounding more than 70 others. Kirkuk Exchange Building was totally damaged by the blast. The bombers also attacked Kirkuk Police Headquarters with hand grenades, and Kirkuk Police engaged them, killing two of them.
A court in Kuwait has sentenced an opposition youth activist to 5 years in prison for insulting the Emir on Twitter website. The court passed a maximum jail term against Muhammad Aid al-Ajmi, who is the third opposition youth activist to be convicted for insulting the Emir. According to the rights groups, large numbers of activists are on trial on similar charges in Kuwait. Criticizing the Emir is illegal in Kuwait and is considered a state security charge. Those convicted of the offense face up to 5 years in jail. Since the December 2012 parliamentary elections, the opposition has been staging almost daily protests to demand that the new parliament be dissolved and the changes made to the electoral law be reversed. Armed rebels tried on Sunday to attack a Syrian helicopter gunship in the northeastern province of Raqqa when its crew members responded and killed many of the assailants. The helicopter had to land 15 kilometers away from the Al-Thawara military airport in that area due to a malfunction as the gunmen tried to attack the gunship, but they were repelled by the troops. There were also reported clashes between the armed rebels and government troops in the vicinity of the central prison of the eastern province of Deir ez-Zor, as many armed men were killed during the clashes. And here's another look at tonight's top stories. Iran's parliament speaker says regional states must break ranks with Zionist enemy. Iranian foreign minister highlights that U.S. invitation to talks inconsistent with threats. Senior advisor to leader of the Islamic Revolution says Iran and Pakistan do not need U.S. permission to enhance mutual ties. Iran rejects U.S. arms trafficking allegations. And Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says world Muslims fully back Syria in its struggle with Zionist regime. Greek ferry workers decided to extend their strike on Greece's main ports until Wednesday. Workers have been protesting the abolition of collective wage agreements and planned reforms to the pension and income contribution system. Our correspondent has more on the issue.
Just hours ago, seamen in Greece just announced an extension of their mobilization and a renewal of their strike by 48 hours until early Wednesday. As a result, ferries will remain docked at ports across the country until mid-next week, when a new meeting will take place to decide upon further ways of action. Workers are protesting against the opening of their profession, the trimming of their social security benefits, and other measures, all stipulated in a new bill. Both the younger generation and retirees of seamen believe that their profession is being attacked through a set of Troika-led initiatives aimed at increasing competitiveness in the maritime sector. Having crushed a metro worker strike with riot police last week, the tripartite coalition government of Antonis Samaras seems to be adopting a softer stance toward protesting seamen who are currently entering the fourth consecutive day of strikes. Dock workers say that with the new bill, they risk losing their jobs and that the government is interested in ships that bring revenue exclusively to large hotel chains. And while the Minister of Maritime Affairs and other governmental officials are hoping the seamen will back off, yet seamen continue with a fresh resolve, underlining that their living conditions have substantially worsened, especially as far as their health care and social benefits are concerned. Seamen are indeed protesting against government plans to overhaul coastal shipping regulations for fear of job cuts. With mounting social pressure, the government is hoping they will back off, but did not rule out issuing a mobilization order, something that was already done with metro workers. That means that under this extreme scenario, seamen would have to return to their jobs or face being arrested or fired. Following metro workers and seamen, there are fears looming that workers in other sectors could start staging their own protests, taking to the streets next week in the countdown to a general strike called by the two main labor unions for February 12th. Greek seamen are protesting and striking for the fourth consecutive day. They are complaining against the opening and the liberalization of their own profession that, as we'll say, will send unemployment rates to unheard of percentages within their own sector. Unemployment that has skyrocketed to 26.8% within the general population of the country. Lucas Germanos, Shabaki Kabar, Aten.
And that's a wrap for this edition of the IRI and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye.